Dean, we got a letter, Shriver's resignation. We've accepted. I'm sure that if he wants to go in the government at all, that he's going to want us to make some kind of commitment. Before I talk to him, I sent him a letter accepting his resignation the 1st of March.
Yeah.
I wanted to review our embassies, Australia, I guess, and Madrid, and Paris, and Germany, and some Latin American ones, and
Argentina,
Philippines. We've got to get on that. I want to bring people from out of the government into them. I would imagine the only one that he's really interested in is Paris and UN.
Yeah, I think that's right. He just called me a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And told me that Daley had just called him and told him that the final decision would not be made until the 26th. That is, they'll have two meetings of the slate makers on the 23rd and the 26th. And Shriver is very embarrassed about this delay. But I didn't make any comment to him except that, of course, I couldn't say anything to him until you and I talked about it.
Yeah. Well, Daley is not going to have anything to do with him. He doesn't want to, and he's just showing him the courtesy of letting him appear, let him down. Daley wants a fellow named Shapiro, who's lieutenant governor, to be the governor.
Uh-huh.
And if he wants anybody, he wants Stevenson, but he doesn't trust either one of them. He thinks they'll stick him. And that's about the way it is, and that's just for our information. Now, he might change his mind, or might take him. He says that Shriver's rather unpopular, and the downstaters that they would murder Shriver and murder me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his gangs, the gangsters he's got on the payroll out there, have just ruined him with the good people of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They in jail, and we send them checks every 2 weeks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, does he want us to wait on the, he wants to wait on the embassy until 28th, huh?
Well, until 26th. That was the strong implication of what he said, yes. I think that he would understand if we had to move before then.
Now,
I actually think that he would be awfully good in Paris.
He would, except he might be a Stevenson on one of these bow deals. I'm afraid that he'll come up and say, well, I could have worked it out, like Bobby did. We've got a good deal here, but Rusk and Johnson wouldn't give an inch.
This morning he said, by the way, if I go to the UN, I wouldn't create any problems of the sort you've had with Adlai Stevenson.
Well, he sure got one here. The poverty does it every day to me.
Yeah.
And I think a man's got it in his blood. I think anybody that thinks more of himself than he does his job is a problem for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was true with Goldberg. I think it's true with Stevenson. I think it's true with Bobby. I think it's true with Shriver. Anybody that has personal advancement in mind is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told Averill I wished he'd go to Atlanta and kind of hold these folks down. We're having a Democratic group down there, and I could get him off the record like he did in New York. And they said he did an awfully good job on the dovish people up there.
Uh-huh.
I need a little one done on the hawkish people at Atlanta, not just take the department's position, my position, your position. But
right. If
you'll notice, the hawks, 10% of them, we dropped off 10% with them this month because
mm-hmm.
we're not doing enough. And, Dean, I'll tell you, it really makes you sad when you see what I saw this weekend. These pilots, what they say about us is, and they're young, intelligent fellows, and they said, you talk about cost effectiveness now. He said, it's not cost effectiveness to take these $10,000 worth of bombs and drop them on a $10 bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't big as our plane and not worth a damn, and fly over three good ones because we won't do it, getting to it. And that we ought to quit wasting our money this way. If we're not going to hit, get things okay, let's get out of it. And these were the guys that hit the Hanoi power plant and hit the Dumer Bridge and so on and so forth. I listened to them. Then I took the enlisted men, 25 of them, went around the table, each one of them, and they are pretty blue, their morale the same way, that they can't do anything. We won't let them hit anything. Now, most of this is Navy stuff.
Yeah.
Then I took the 82nd Airborne, and of 94 that were going back, I don't believe there's four hands in this particular airplane that I went in. I asked them to hold up the hands of men been there before, and I believe 90 of them at least had been there. I didn't see a hand that didn't go up, and
yeah.
They said practically all of them had been there. In the Marines, some of them had gone four times. Practically all of them had gone two times.
Hmm.
A good many of them had gone three times, special forces stuff.
Yeah.
They've been out.
Yeah.
all of them had good attitudes, but all of them thought we ought to put more men and ought to go on and try to win the war or find some other way out. And I asked one guy, have you been out before? He said, 4 times, sir. Do you have any family? Baby boy born yesterday. But it was real touching. I spent a long time with Eisenhower. He says, I don't think you'll... One criticism I got of this administration is I think you're right, I think you're doing what you ought to do, I think you got to be there, but I don't think you understand that the longer the war, the more costly it is, that I'd rather lose 25,000 a day for a few days and get it over with, and I'd rather lose 2,500 a month.
Yeah.
Ad infinitum. And I said, any general will do that. And said, the man that's got the greatest responsibility on his shoulders, any general in the history of this country, is Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
But said, Westmoreland ought to be asking for more men and ought to be doing more than he is. And anybody can look at it and see and said, I'm afraid that that's your mistake. So I would gather that's the Republican line. So I would like for Averill to go down and say to the Hawks down there, we don't want to get in war with Russia and China. We're going about as far as we can. They've lost 40,000. Killed and captured and other things in the last since January the 1st, and this hasn't helped them any. We still got a lot of problems, but let's don't get divided here among ourselves. He right. doesn't know whether he ought to go. I told him come over tomorrow. I want to talk to him about Utah a little bit before I saw right. Utah. But you, I just want you to have that background. I was talking to one of your people, and I didn't want to do it without you.
By the way, Mr. President, one thing you should know in the back of your mind. I don't think it's something we need to worry about it right away, but. He apparently had another little stroke incident the other day. The doctors did not tell him that, but they told me that. He seems to be feeling all right now, but...
Well, he said this morning he wanted to do it, but he had some occasion out in Chicago for you.
Oh, yeah.
Next
yeah.
Saturday. So look at it. And what we're trying to do is to hold our people in line in the various states, and I have a little problem in the Georgia area, and he would be fairly good for it. I can't send a professor. I don't want to send you into a party function.
I'm supposed to go to Phoenix on Thursday for a meeting on Friday, a regional meeting out there. Mm-hmm. Be back here on Saturday.
Yeah, that's not a party meeting.
No,
you don't go to party one. That's
no,
the point. I need somebody that can go to party ones, you see.
Yeah, well,
and Averill's the best one. He's
yeah,
done
he
it
can.
In New York and several places.
Yeah.
I don't want to urge it. I want him to be the judge. I just wanted you to know that I talked to him about it, and
right.
I wasn't going around you.
Right.
Now, on the Shriver thing, I gathered the other day you'd rather have him in Paris and be messing with Bo than to have him in Germany.
Oh, I think so. I think he'd much prefer to go to Paris.
I know he had, but hell, I'm talking about I prefer. And what I'm afraid of is I'm afraid he'll pull a Adlai Stevenson, Eric Severide deal, or I'm afraid he'll pull a Utah deal. I'm just thinking he'll be in to see Bo some way. And then I think he'll have a deal worked out, and Bo will use him against me and you. That's what I think.
Well, I'd be very surprised if he did that, but... The German post is a much more active post. The Paris post is almost a marking time post, you see. There'll be less for him to do in Paris by considerable.
Well, does he have more danger, though, with Bo? Can we keep him away from Bo somewhere?
I think we can keep him away from Bo, or at least if we ever want him to see Bo, to do it the way we want him to do. I think he'll take discipline on a precise thing like that.
Then you would feel all right with Bo.
I would be comfortable about his going to Paris much more than I would his going to Germany, actually, in terms of the amount of business to be done.
Who have we got in mind for Germany?
Well, you and I once talked about Arthur Dean.
Yeah.
And I would go hard for that if you're willing to.
Well, I think that we ought to explore that and ask him.
Because that's one thing, one post that he told me privately quite some time ago he would be interested in.
Well, I rather think, will he give them hell up the Foreign Relations Committee? Will they give him any hell on that?
Oh, no. He wouldn't have any particular problems up there. Matter of fact, in the Dulles days, took the lead in raising for public discussion the recognition of Red China. I mean, Fulbright used to think he was a great guy. that issue wouldn't come up in Germany. So I think it'd be no great problem about that.
All right, I think you ought to tell him that the president talked to you about it, and you think that he's interested, see if he is interested, and tell him that we'll call him.
I do have a little embarrassment with him because I tried to get him once as Undersecretary of State, and Kennedy had told me it would be okay, and then we just didn't do it. Twice I've made a pass at him, and we didn't go through with
it. Well, let me just call him then. I'll call him and see how I feel.
You call him and make your
You think he would take it, though?
I think he would.
How old is he?
Oh, he's 67, thereabouts.
Not too old, though.
No, he's not too old for this.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anybody in mind besides Gale McGee for Goldberg's job?
Of course, I have had in mind making it a professional job.
I'm against that for no other reason, and he has announced that's what's got to be done, and I just resent it.
Yeah, well, let me look further then.
I want an outsider and somebody that's going to be loyal to us, and that's the first test. I don't care if he's a buffoon. I want him to be damn sure. I'm tired of having them cut me up there.
Yeah.
I see four interviews this morning about my insisting Utah come down here, and all out of the United Nations.
Sergeant Shriver, by the way, is interested in that post.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he's interested in TV.
That's not the place for him.
No. Okay.
All right.